Hi everyone, welcome back to English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
So last time we talked about Wild City,
yes.
This Animal Planet show that looks at the lives of these animals that live really close to the modern city of Singapore.
That's right. They've used a lot of high-tech cameras to capture some of these animals that are living their wild lives very, very close to Singapore. And a lot of people don't realize that Singapore is on an island. The city that we think of is on an island that is much bigger, and there are some wetland reserves there, some areas that people wouldn't live in, almost swampland. They've been protected by the government to give the animals a safe home where they can live and breed and, you know, carry on their lives. And these are not small animals or animals you might think of, you know, some snakes here, a few lizards there, maybe a couple of spiders.
It's bigger than that.
We're talking about big animals, animals like otters, which will live in the rivers and wetlands, and something that might find the otters delicious.
The saltwater crocodile, the biggest crocodiles ever.
When I think of saltwater crocodile, it's just Northern Australia.
Yeah, well,
I didn't know they were in Singapore.
It's not that far, if you think about it.
That's right.
So, yeah, and we looked at how those animals live together, how the otters cross paths with them, but also have fun posing for pictures.
That's right.
The tourists or hikers see them in the shallow waters. Now, let's look at another cool animal in part two of today's article.
Reading.
Wild City. Many base jumpers leap from Singapore's buildings, but they are no match for the Malayan colugo. This creature looks like a cross between a squirrel and a bat. When colugos jump, their skin stretches to form a large wing. This enables them to glide over 130 meters on each jump. However, few people know colugos exist because they only move at night. During the day, colugos are invisible to the naked eye because their fur is the same color as the tree. On the other hand, fiddler crabs are easy to spot, especially during mating season. They throw big dance parties to find the right partner. Males have one giant claw, and they will wave it in the air to attract females' attention. If this doesn't work, they start fighting other males to show their dominance. Once they find a mate, the fighting stops, as they head underground to create the next generation of crabs. To see more of these amazing creatures in action, be sure to tune into Wild City on Animal Planet.
So we start this article by saying many base jumpers leap from Singapore's buildings, but they are no match for the Malayan colugo. A few things to explain there. First is, what is a base jumper? Well, base jumping is an extreme sport, and you jump from a high place, either with a parachute or a wingsuit. The base bit stands for buildings, antenna, so big kind of radio towers, spans, meaning bridges, and earth, usually cliffs that they jump off. So B-A-S-E. Building, antenna, span, earth, or building, radio tower, bridge, cliff. And they just jump off them. The crazy fools. In fact, they leap off them.
That's right. There was that Felix Baumgartner.
Oh, that guy, yes.
He base jumped from Taipei 101 quite a few years ago. It's a very dangerous type of parachuting, but if you're jumping out of an airplane or jumping off a building with a parachute, hopefully, we can also use this verb to leap. To leap is basically the same as jump. You can leap high in the air, you can leap a long distance, like if you're doing the long jump in an athletics competition. Leap is spelled L-E-A-P, L-E-A-P, leap. For example, the tiger leapt out of the tree and down onto the goat at the bottom. Notice there it's leapt, L-E-A-P, T, that's the past tense, not ED.
I think we can use ED. I think both are
leaped.
Okay.
Really?
Leaped and leapt, yeah. I mean, they're both acceptable forms, so keep an eye on that, two past tense forms. Okay. So base jumpers are good at leaping, but they're no match for the Malayan colugo. If you're no match for something, you're just not as good at something as another person, or in this case, an animal. They're better than you, and if there was a competition, they would win.So we've mentioned the Malayan Kalugo. Malayan means from Malaysia or the Malay area. Mm-hmm. But what is this animal?
It's a good question. I'd never heard of it either. But the article tells us this creature, this animal, looks like a cross between a squirrel and a bat.
Oh.
So get a squirrel and a bat, mix them up in your mad scientist machine, mm-hmm. and you will have a Kalugo. That's right. It's kind of mixed up. That's why we say it's a cross betweenA and B, in this case, a cross between a squirrel and a bat, all right? So basically, it means you're taking two things that are really quite different, and you're mixing them together, maybe in a literal way, right? You can make a certain type of food, like a pizza cone is a cross between a pizza and an ice cream cone.
And oh, that sounds good.
It has a cone with cheese and stuff in the middle. Oh. It's something someone created, you know, in a kitchen. Or we can talk about a Kalugo. Now, this, of course, was not created by a mad scientist in a lab. It was created by nature, but to our eyes, to our experience, we often use a cross between A and B to help us a little bit more easily understand something that's...quite unusual, that's quite strange and quite special. So if I say it's a Kalugo and it's got four arms and legs and fur and hair, you'd be like, okay.
I don't know.
But if I said it's a cross between a bat, all right, and a squirrel, oh, that gives you a better idea. So it's a good phrase to use when describing something that's quite unusual or quite unique.
Now, when Kalugos jump, their skin stretches to form a large wing. So I guess it's a bit like a flying squirrel, which we do have in Taiwan. Now to stretch, S-T-R-E-T-C-H, stretch, means to make something longer or wider so it covers a greater area. We can use it to talk about stretching out our muscles to kind of warm up, or to stretch out material on a shirt, for example. Sure. The important thing is whatever's being stretched doesn't break, okay? So you imagine they've suddenly got these long wing things, and that allows them to glide or move on the air. We can also use this sentence. We stretched the tent material over the tent poles and set it up in the park.
Oh. So the Kalugo, we learned, has this skin between its front legs and its back that is able to stretch. And what does it do with this stretched skin? Well, it says this enables them to glide over 130 meters on each jump. That's absolutely amazing. It's kind of like the wingsuit we talked about the base jumpers using, something like that. So this special body part, this special feature of their body enables them to jump for very long distances. To enable, this verb is spelled E-N-A-B-L-E, to enable. Basically, it means to make you able to do something, all right? You can do something if you have this skill, if you have this feature, if you have this certain characteristic. We can also talk about certain things, you know, money enables you to buy food. An education enables you to get a better job. And having lots of friends enables you to have an interesting social life. These things make you able to do those things. For example, camels. Camels store water in their humps, which enables them to go for many days without drinking. So this extra skin enables them to glide over 130 meters. I think most people can figure it out, but what exactly is to glide?
Well, it is a bit like flying. It's to move through the air, but it's without any kind of engine power. Yeah. You're using the height, the air moving under you, the currents. You're using momentum, that push.
And a wing.
Yeah, and you've got a wing that kind of keeps you moving, but you're not really flapping it too much or adding more
power. No engines.
Yeah, so when birds fly, some of it they flap, and then they just kind of glide through the air before they need to flap again. Okay, so these are Kalugos, and as our article says, however, few people know Kalugos exist. Mm-hmm. We didn't.
Right.
Because they only move at night.
Oh.
So there we go. We're not really sure because nobody sees them very often. Now, there we use the phrase few people. When we use few like this, we mean not many people at all. Whereas if we'd said a few, then it would mean some kind of thing. So the difference between using few or a few, meaning not many, kind of a negative way, or a few, some. We also can use little and a little in pretty much the same way. Mm-hmm. I have little water, almost none. Mm-hmm. I have a little water, I have some.
I have a small amount. That's right.
And
then it says during the day, because we know colugos mostly do their flying at night. So what about during the day? Well, during the day, colugos are invisible to the naked eye because their fur is the same color as the tree.
Huh.
Very interesting. So they're obviously slightly nervous little animals. They feel safe flying around at night, and then during the day, they are invisible to the naked eye. Why? Because their fur, the hair on their bodies, is the same color as the trees that they live on, probably sleep on.
Yep.
So it might be brown on brown, which means you can't see it. It's invisible to the naked eye. And that very useful phrase is our shortcut for you. So let's take a quick break and watch this video, and then we'll be back to finish the article.
Shortcut for you.
Can you see where I spilled coffee on my shirt?
I can't see anything.
I washed it out, but I can still smell the coffee smell.
Well, there might be some left on your shirt, but it's invisible to the naked eye.
What? Invisible and naked? Can you see through my shirt because of the coffee?
No. We use invisible to the naked eye to describe something you can't see without looking through a special device, such as a magnifying glass.
Oh, so invisible to the naked eye means 肉眼无法瞧见.
Exactly. We use machines or devices to make things look bigger or closer so we can see them.
Oh, I remember. I saw bacteria through a special device in science class. They are invisible to the naked eye because they are very small.
Okay, welcome back. Now, we saw that the reason these animals are invisible to the naked eye is the color of their fur.
Their fur, yeah.
And the same color as the tree. So you just don't know which is tree, which is animal. No idea. Now, fur, F-U-R, fur, is the short, fine hair on animals. Mm. Okay, we can use kind of fur to talk about a person's hair in a funny way.
In a funny way.
If you know a very hairy guy, you might say that guy's fur, he's furry. Mm-hmm. It's the adjective. But it's mostly used for animals.
Mm.
Okay, for example, your cat has fur, and when you stroke it, it's probably on your hand and then on the floor.
That's probably
another
where it
example is the bear's thick fur keeps it warm as it sleeps through the winter months.
Mm.
Okay, so that's colugos, pretty cool animals. Time for a new animal.
That's right. So let's see what else we could find. This will be a little bit closer to the ground, in fact, down on the ground. It says, on the other hand, fiddler crabs are easy to spot, especially during mating season. Remember the word spot?
Yes.
It's to see something that might be hard to see. It's hard to spot a colugo because their fur and the tree is the same color. But fiddler crabs, they're easy to spot. They're easy to see. They won't be hard to find. And why is that? Well, because fiddler crabs are crabs, you know, like you might see in the ocean or on the beach that you might also eat in a restaurant. But fiddler crabs are a little bit special, a little bit unusual, but very easy to spot and to remember because the males, the boy fiddler crabs, have one really big claw on one hand and one much smaller claw on the other hand. The big one is almost funny how big it is. And of course, that's the one it might use to hunt and catch food.
Smack stuff.
And I think the idea is that it looks like it plays the fiddle a lot.
Yeah, when the smaller one is moving food into its mouth, it's kind of going like, and that makes it look like it's playing
the violin.
A fiddle or violin.
Interesting.
Okay, now what else do we learn about fiddler crabs in the mating season? Mating season means they're trying to find mates, which is males and females getting together to make babies.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that they, the crabs, throw big dance parties to find the right partner. That's exactly like humans do.
Wow, that's
amazing. We throw dance parties to find partners.
I wonder if they have a two-drink minimum.
Yeah.
Anyways, they throw a party. That phrase basically means just to organize a party, invite friends to the party, host the party, make sure everyone's having a good time. If it's your birthday, if you're graduating, if you're expecting a baby, if you're having a wedding, you're also going to throw a party. You're going to plan it, organize it, get all the food and drink and entertainment, invite your friends, and hopefully have a really good time. So they have a big party where all the crabs come together.
Yeah, and dance.
The boys and the girls, and they dance. And how do the boys, you know, try to get the girls? Are they spinning on their heads? Are
they waiting
wearing
for the slow
really,
dance
really cool
to come on?
Shirts and nice cologne?
Well, what we see is males, as we already mentioned, have one giant claw.
Right.
And they will wave it in the air like they just don't care to attract females' attention.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And we learned there that the fiddler crabs, the male crabs, will wave their claws in the air to attract attention or to attract the attention of one of the female crabs. Basically, if you're trying to attract attention, you're trying to get something. You're trying to have that attention pulled towards you. Attract is a verb. It's spelled A-T-T-R-A-C-T. And basically, it's try to get something to come to you, to notice you, to head your way. You're trying to bring something over into your area. Flowers use their smells and colors to attract bees. You might be attracted to the smell of a barbecuing steak or attracted to the smell of baking bread coming from a bakery. You smell it, then it pulls you in that direction. And of course, birds use their colorful feathers and funny dances and things like that to attract females or males, just like the male fiddler crabs are trying to do. For example, we could also say, the bright colors in the shop window easily, or really, attracted my attention. One more time, the bright colors in the shop window really attracted my attention. They pulled my attention over very easily. And, well, sometimes, even like with humans, if you're trying to attract the attention of a pretty girl
check
or a
my
handsome
claw,
guy...
Check my claw.
Yeah, sometimes checking your claw just doesn't work.
Oh.
Yeah. So what do they do in those cases? What if, just waving your giant claw around isn't enough?
Go home and be sad.
Maybe.
Well, no. The article says if this, the claw waving, doesn't work, they start fighting other males to show their dominance.
So it is like a nightclub.
It is like a nightclub. Club. Yeah, that does happen. Now they show their dominance. Dominance is the state of being more powerful than others and in control of them. We see it in animals, and when animals have dominance or are dominant, to use the adjective, they generally are the boss animal. They get the most food, the best mates, the girlfriends, they control the best sleeping spot and so on. And until another animal wants to get dominance, and then they will fight to see who's in charge.
That's right. Often you see two dogs meet each other, and even though there's a bigger dog and a smaller dog, the smaller dog will make the bigger dog scared. There's something about it. It's older, it's tougher, it's crazier. Arr. But that dog, that smaller dog, is showing its dominance over the bigger one. It's interesting how animals interact. Anyways, back to the fiddler crabs. Once they do find a mate, either by waving their claw or beating up another fiddler crab, once they find a mate or once they find their girlfriend, the fighting stops as they head underground to create the next generation of crabs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can't get enough of your love, babe. Anyways, so they're heading underground. These fiddler crabs will make their nests and hatch their babies, lay and hatch the babies underground. Now, this adverb, yes, we're using it as an adverb here, is spelled U-N-D-E-R-G-R-O-U. U-N-D. We've taken under and ground and made it into a word. We can talk about the underground, which is the area under the earth, or it's also the name of the London subway system, but we can also use it as an adverb to talk about things that are under the ground, all right? An underground tunnel will take people underground.
That would be an adjective,
Most tunnels are underground.
Yeah, as an adverb, we talk about action, so go underground, walk underground, live underground.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and as an adjective, it's an underground base, an underground tunnel, that sort of stuff. Another example as an adverb would be ostriches bury their eggs underground to keep them safe.
Yeah, exactly. And we have the word generation. Generation is basically parents to children. That is one generation. So if we talk about children, parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, that would be four generations. For humans, a generation is usually meaning around 20 to 30 years, something like that. The time it takes for a child to grow up and then to have its own kids, that would be one generation.
You have to start the next one off, and that's what the crabs do. They start the next set of crabs who will grow up and dance and fight and do the whole thing again. Now, the article finishes by saying, to see more of these amazing creatures in action, be sure to tune in to Wild City on Animal Planet. Now, to see something in action just means you see something being done, or in this case, you see animals hunting, eating, fighting, gliding, mating, and all of that sort of stuff. Not just when you see them at the zoo, they're often just sleeping or sitting still. You're actually seeing something in action. It's in the real world doing natural things. So, yep, check out the show and you'll see a lot of cool animal stuff. Brings us to the end of our article, so we're now on our For You Chat question.
For You Chat.
So we saw those wetlands in the first day's article, and now a reserve, a protected area, relates to our question, how could countries do more to protect their wild animals?
Well, setting aside lands like the nature reserves, like the wetlands in Singapore, national parks, animal sanctuaries, places where the animals are naturally found, and just sort of block it off, protect it, say you can't go in there and build things, you can't go in there and cut down trees or go look for oil, or of course hunting is not allowed. That's a good thing to do.
For sure.
I think also education is good, because there's many of these interesting animals like the colugo that I'm sure many people in Singapore don't know very much about. Here in Taiwan we have all sorts of deer and bears and amazing
snakes, birds
and the mountains
that
people don't know about. So I think once they know more about them, then they're more willing to protect them and say, okay, yeah, let's just make that an area of land only for the animals.
Yeah, and you mentioned not being able to build. I think when we are planning new buildings, new bridges, new roads, we have to do a full environmental assessment to find out what are we hurting. You can't just say, oh, we cut down a few trees because those trees could be homes, they could be food sources, so the animals can't survive and they affect more things like the soil, which causes more plants to die and more animals to be in trouble. And there's lots of knock-on effects because these systems all kind of fit together. And if you damage one bit, you end up hurting the whole thing.
That's right.
So we really need to plan these things and make sure we know what we're doing when we develop and construct and build. Okay, that is the end of our article, Wild City. Thanks for watching, everyone, for English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Wild City. Many base jumpers leap from Singapore's buildings, but they are no match for the Malayan colugo. This creature looks like a cross between a squirrel and a bat. When colugos jump, their skin stretches to form a large wing. This enables them to glide over 130 meters on each jump. However, few people know colugos exist, because they only move at night. During the day, colugos are invisible to the naked eye because their fur is the same color as the tree. On the other hand, fiddler crabs are easy to spot, especially during mating season. They throw big dance parties to find the right partner. Males have one giant claw, and they will wave it in the air to attract females' attention. If this doesn't work, they start fighting other males to show their dominance. Once they find a mate, the fighting stops as they head underground to create the next generation of crabs. To see more of these amazing creatures in action, be sure to tune into Wild City on Animal Planet.
Vocabulary Review.
Leap. The river is quite narrow, so the kids could easily leap from one side to the other. Stretch. Don't pull my t-shirt like that. You'll stretch it. Enable. Cows' stomachs have four parts, which enable them to eat all kinds of plants as food. Fur. My cat likes it when I touch the fur on his back, but not when I try to rub his stomach. Attract. When I saw my friend on the other side of the street, I waved to attract her attention. Underground. Foxes live underground, but come out at night to hunt for food.